Hello, this is Richard Alabone on webtalkradio.net, and this week I want to talk about the mediumship of Chico Xavier in Brazil. Later on I want to talk about mediumship in general, but first I'll discuss Chico's mediumship, which was mainly automatic writing. My guest lived in Brazil and met him, where he learned firsthand about Chico's amazing powers of mediumship. Chico had learned to do automatic writing in trance, where he obtained information which he had no means of knowing, and which he himself believed to be from a spirit world. So now let's hear from my guest this week, Guy Lyon Playfair.
Hello, Guy.
Yes, hello there.
I wanted to call you today and get you to tell me about Chico Xavier, who I believe you wrote a book about.
Chico Xavier, yes, indeed.
Is it Xavier or Xavier?
Xavier.
Xavier. Yes, I haven't read the book, but I have seen a review of it, which was very impressive, I thought.
Well, it's had pretty mixed reviews. One or two people absolutely hated it, so I think probably for religious reasons, people who don't approve of those who appear to be communicating with the spirits. But of course, there are many more who do. So I get it from both sides, which is okay with me.
I believe you witnessed Chico some years ago. Can you tell us about that?
Yes, I went to one of his book signings, which was a book signing like no other I've ever been to, and I've been to several. When I got there, there were about 400 people in the room, and they were filing past the table where Chico would sign the book and shake their hands and have a few words with them and give everybody a little red rose. And this ceremony went on all day. There was a total of 2,000 copies of the book sold in one day. And that's just one of his, I think at the latest count, 452 books that he wrote during his life. And he just sat there. I don't think he even had a glass of water. He just went on and never seemed to get tired, and had a kind word for everybody, and had quite a longer chat with me when it was my turn. And it was a remarkable experience. I had a huge admiration for Chico. I think he really was a rare individual.
Well, of course, the number of people that turned out and bought his books is a testament for that. I wasn't quite sure how much his work was mediumship, as we talk about it in this country and in the West today, or how much of it was the automatic writing?
Well, it was all automatic writing. That's what he did. And as to the question of the source, whether it was his own subconscious or whatever, or whether it was an independent entity, you have to remember that Chico was practically uneducated. He dropped out of primary school when he was 14. And went to work in a shop, counter assistant, and then as a cleaner in a bar. And he finally got a job with the Ministry of Agriculture as a typist, which he was quite good at. But he never had, was nothing resembling a public library in Pedro Leopoldo, which is a little remote country town in the center of Brazil. And of course, there was no TV in those days. And when he was young, there was no radio either, so he really had no contact with the literature of his own country. And yet his first book, written when he was in his early 20s, was a huge volume of poems attributed to practically every famous poet in Portuguese language. An amazing achievement. And that was his debut. He was a sensation overnight, and he became famous overnight and could have made a fortune, but he never accepted any payment for anything he wrote, which is really very unusual.
No. The poems, were they original poems in the style of the famous poets, or were they poems which had been published previously?
No, they hadn't been published previously. Some of them indeed were sequels to poems by the real poet, which had been published, and it was as if they were sort of carrying on where they left off. And they have been very carefully studied and analysed by a university graduate who's doing a thesis on the work of Chico Xavier. And he's done a very careful study of the styles of the real poets and the ones received by Chico. And he's found innumerable similarities in the way they construct sentences and so on, but he hasn't found a single case of actual copying. So that I can quite confidently say has been established very, very convincingly, but by a very dedicated academic, Alexander Karoly-Rosher, who I hope will publish his findings in due course.
Mm. And he wrote these sort of in trance or semi-trance, did he? Or
Well, it was certainly an altered state. The other interesting thing about Chico is that he wrote a great deal of his output in public at the local spiritist center in his hometown, where he started, where he became sort of developed as a medium. And he would have public sessions where anybody could just drop in and watch, no charge. And there is a film of him at work, I think probably taken in the late 40s or so, where you can see a fairly large crowd of people watching him sitting at a table with his hand over his eyes and looking away, and his hand moving at a colossal speed, which you really wouldn't think possible. But in fact, I've spoken to one of the women who was sitting at the table with him and said, you know, come on, this film must have been speeded up. And she said, no, if anything, it's been slowed down. That's what it was like. His hand just moved as fast as a hand can move. He never paused as if to think or anything. It was like, if you remember the old telex machines that we journalists used to use, where you feed your story in, press the button, and it comes out in a long ribbon at great speed. And that is what Chico's writing looked like to me. I kept thinking of telex machine when I saw that film.
Yes, and he had a spirit guide, Emmanuel, I believe, who was supposed
yes,
to...
Yes, Emmanuel was his chief guide, who was thought to have been a Roman senator or something, but you know, you can never tell with spirit guides. I don't think they're always who they say they are. But yes, he did, and he had a number of sort of other regular communicators. There was a man called André Louis, who wrote his most popular bestseller novel called Nosferatu, which is translated as Our Home, and it's just been made into a film which has broken all box office records in Brazil when it was shown this year. It's the second biggest box office earner ever in Brazil. Mm-hmm. And hopefully will be shown over here, although no sign of it yet, but it will be probably called Our Home in English.
And he wrote books now, 450 something. These were just really the edited, published versions of his automatic writing.
Well, to be honest, I haven't read all of them. I mean, how could I? But yeah. I have read about 30 of them, which is not bad going. And they come into several different categories. I think you have to admit that his best work was his earliest, as so often happens with any kind of artist. He really hit the ground running with a series of historical novels set in the first century AD in Rome. And these are now both available in English. One of them is called 2,000 Years Ago, and the second one is... Well, yes, Paul and Stephen, which is about the life of St. Paul. And it was a sequel to 2,000 Years Ago. I think in English it would be something like 100 years later. So keep an eye on the Amazon, because they are beginning to get translated and they are well worth reading. The amount of sheer detail in the Roman books, which he dashed off in about 6 months, 600 or 700 pages of it, say the amount of detail is extraordinarily vivid. I mean, you get the most convincing accounts of what the sunset looked like and what the market smelt like, and the heat and the dust and the general bustle. You really do feel you were there. Whereas if you compare it with, for instance, Ben-Hur, which was written by a professional soldier who'd studied, researched the subject for something like 7 years, and Chico just dashed this off in a few months. It really defies belief.
And books like that of the Roman period, have they been checked by scholars to see how authentic the writing seemed to be, presumably?
Yes, they have, and there's a lot of argument about that, because, of course, the scholars don't know, do they? I mean, they weren't there.
No,
can't contradict Chico's description of what the sunset looked like on a certain day. But yes, they have been looked at, and in fact, there is a glossary of terms used in those two Roman books. The whole book in itself of references, saying who these people were and what they did. One or two of them have not checked out. Certainly, people are mentioned in the books who were simply not known. So that's not proof that they never existed, exactly.
No.
But yes, they have been checked out quite thoroughly.
And they have been impressive as far as people who were in the know, as it were, that could check on how accurate details were. This is really what it comes down to, details of lifestyle and details of individuals where these might tie up with what he wrote.
Yes, that's right. They do check out pretty well. No, not absolutely always, as I said, but I would say more often than not.
Quite amazing. And because of all that, of course, the people in Brazil were quite amazed by all this. There was, and at his death, there was, 120,000, I believe, went to pay respects when he died.
Well, it was absolutely enormous. I mean, it was like a state funeral. There was even a message from the President of the Republic himself, a very kind one, and all number of celebrities of showbiz and sport and goodness knows what turned up. And oddly enough, he died on the day when Brazil won the World Cup in 2002, which he actually had predicted himself some time before. He said he was going to die on a day when Brazil was celebrating, and he did. And in spite of the sort of rival attraction of the winning the World Cup for the fifth time, I think it was, Chico's funeral was the story of the day. I mean, it was a tremendous national event.
Yeah. Yes, one thing going on from your comments, did he do precognition, predictions of things that were to happen in the future?
No, I don't think so. He had some very curious abilities. For instance, two friends of mine have said when they met him for the first time, without even being introduced, he seemed to know all about them. And one in particular, a woman who's known as Janet, or she was known in Brazil as Janet, although that's not her real name. And when Chico met her, he wrote her name down in his prayer book, which he keeps for people he wants to pray for. And he wrote down her real name, which she'd never told him. And how would he know that? I mean, she hadn't even been introduced. So he apparently had the habit of greeting people by name that he'd never met, and sometimes even by their nickname. He did that to another friend of mine who greeted him by a name that only his parents had used, nobody else. I certainly never heard it. So yes, yeah. he did have very unusual abilities, but he was very kind of modest about them, and he never sought to exploit them, certainly not for payment. He never received payment for anything except his government job and his pension.
Yes, when you were saying he knew people's names, did he use their names verbally, or was this all written down?
When he met people, it was verbal, yes.
He would know, yes.
But yes, one of my friends said that they were just chatting away, making polite conversation, and Shiko just said the equivalent of... yes, of course, Billy. and that had been, it was a much more unusual name than that, actually, but it had been a nickname which only his parents had used.
So now I want to talk about mediumship generally, as well as Shiko's particular way of receiving information, which in his case was by writing when in trance, with some foreign influence controlling what was being written. He was vaguely aware of what was being written, in that he could stop to turn a page, but he would not consciously analyse or alter in any way what he was writing, as he was in deep trance. He would write books or poetry, as well as doing conventional mediumship for the bereaved, during which he wrote 10,000 letters giving his readings. This, of course, is similar to the mediumship of Edgar Cayce, who was put into deep hypnotic trance, in which he would say the words coming from his unconscious, of which he had no knowledge. Edgar specialised in diagnosing physical or mental conditions, and he provided a remedy dictated to a secretary. He was able to do this even from a letter where the person's name and location was given. Similarly, a sleepwalker can very occasionally draw well in trance where he cannot draw artistically during the day. So, we have to ask ourselves, what is it that all these three have in common? And the answer is the ability to connect with information known to other people. Shiko could connect with people who knew the style of a poet or knew details of historic events, and his unconscious was able to convert that information into a convincing poem in the style of, or into a story full of correct historical information. Edgar Cayce did the same. He was able to diagnose illness, even at a distance, and then give a remedy, which he may well have obtained by connecting mentally with a local doctor who he knew. And this same ability to connect with other people appears to allow a sleepwalker to artistically draw by connecting telepathically with an artist. Surely we do not have to invoke spirits of the dead when ESP appears to be the answer in all these three cases. In fact, I am convinced ESP is the answer. Shiko was able to read the name or nickname of people who he had only just met. Obviously, he did this by telepathy. That's nothing to do with spirits. Even though he was able to give 10,000 readings for bereaved people, which we are led to believe was by connecting with the spirits, whereas he was surely connecting telepathically with the bereaved person. Telepathy always works best when emotion is involved, and there is nothing more emotional than bereavement. And this applies to all the readings by spiritualists. I have spoken to probably the best known and best paid British spiritualist, and he candidly admitted to being telepathic with friends and family, but he would be reluctant to admit it publicly, of course.
Now, there's one thing I want to ask you. I am confused about the two terms, spiritism and spiritualism. Now, I understand what is meant by spiritualism in the West. Even though nowadays there is a spiritism movement in this country and elsewhere, are they very different? Was it originally just a Brazilian movement?
No, it was originally French. there is slight confusion because the kind of spiritist Bible, if I can call it that, the Spirit's Book by Allan Kardec. Right on the first page, he explains that spiritism is a form of spiritualism, and it all gets a bit complicated, but basically what it comes down to is that spiritism, or Kardec spiritism, is firmly based on the theory of reincarnation, whereas spiritualism is not. They tend not to accept it. In fact, they oppose it quite strongly. But to the spiritists, it's just a basic fact of life, if you like, and I think that is the main difference. And also, the spiritists are quite uncompromisingly Christians, and Kardec himself referred to spiritism as Christianity restored.
So yes, there is a fundamental difference between the two, which I wasn't aware of before. Yeah, well, thank you for that. Right, I was wondering to what extent you think the Chico's gifts were spiritual, whether it was to do with the spirits or whether just ESP was involved.
It's impossible to say for sure. A convincing impression that he was in contact with hundreds of spirits. I mean, he received poems from something like 400 different sources, which is rather beyond the abilities of most normal poets. You can't rule out any kind of ESP, really, because you can't disprove it. But his preferred explanation was that, yes, he was in direct contact with spirits most of his life.
One thing about all this which does intrigue me, I wondered how we can get the general public to realise that we are all potential Chicos. People have said this, and obviously you wrote the book to try and spread the message that, you know, he was a wonderful person, but presumably we all have the latent possibility that we might be able to do these things.
I'm not sure about that. I think we all certainly have latent skills and abilities that we generally don't get the chance to express for whatever reason. I think what's interesting in the case of Chico is that his mediumship was literally thrust upon him. His mother died when he was only five, I think it was, and shortly after her death he saw her out in the garden, and to him this was absolutely real. He just couldn't accept any explanation of hallucinations or whatever, and then he began to see other spirits. He would actually see them, and he would hear them talking, and he just felt he was part of their world right from his earliest years.
Yes, so it was the firm belief in spirits and a spirit guide which enabled him to produce the incredible things that he did during his life.
Yes, he had an apparition or materialization, if you like, of his spirit guide. He saw him and he described him, and he was wearing a sort of Roman type toga, and introduced himself as Emmanuel and said he'd come to show Chico how to write great books, and proceeded to get on with it.
It's all very fascinating.
Yes, I think Chico is one of those few one of the very few people in the history of psychical research who really do deserve detailed study. And apart from anything else, his books make terrific reading. They're well written and they're full of action and excitement. And now that they're becoming available in English, I highly recommend certainly all the early ones. And yeah. I hope more people get a chance to enjoy them.
Yeah. And you referred to him, I believe, as the medium of the century.
Well, yes, that was because he was, in fact, his local newspaper in the state of Minas Gerais, which their inhabitants are known as mineiros or miners, and they had a vote among their readers for the Mineiro of the century, and the candidates included people like President Kubitschek and the great Pelé, no less. And Chico was the winner. He got something like 900,000 votes. And he was nominated the miner of the century. So I thought, well, I mean, I can't think of any other medium who's made a fortune and given it all away to the poor. Yeah. All the proceeds from his books went to welfare.
Yes.
Bowls of soup dished out at spiritist centres and clothing and school uniforms and you name it. I mean, he was a one-man welfare service.
Has there been any figure put on the amount of money he raised, or perhaps that's been...
Well, it certainly went into the millions. I went into this at some detail with people who knew him, and to be fair, the accounting was a bit not quite up to standard, because the problem was that he would personally donate the rights to the books to as many different places as possible, something like 2,000 of them. And they weren't coordinated into a kind of central statistics data bank, I suppose you'd call it. But there's no doubt at all that he sold something like 30 million copies. And on the basis of any royalties, I mean, that makes you makes you pretty rich. And he was nominated for the Nobel Peace Prize in 1982, which he very nearly won. And in the opinion of many, he should have won. And yeah. Unfortunately, instead, it went to the United Nations Refugee Commission, which is only doing what it's paid to do. And Chico was doing what he was not paid to do. So that is still rather bitterly remembered in Brazil, certainly.
Yes, well, I'm sure. But at the same time, his work, although quite amazing, was not really aimed at producing peace among the peoples of the world. But
it had quite a big impact in producing peace in Brazil, which is a start.
Oh yes, yes. I mean, yes, I'm not decrying that. Of course, in Brazil, he was so well liked and so famous. Yep.
Oh, very much. Yes, absolutely. Even people who were not Brutists had tremendous respect for him, and they on his centenary year of 2010, last year, they brought out a special stamp. He's now on a Brazilian stamp, which is a pretty rare honor for any country.
Oh well, Guy. Well, thank you very much. That's given us a great deal of information about Chico and all he did and so on.
Yes, well, I hope people will read. I hope they'll read my book. That gives you a sort of general introduction. It doesn't claim to be a penetrating full-length biography. It's only 100 pages and it's quite cheap. So I hope you'll all rush out and buy that. And then I would recommend starting on the Roman novels 2,000 years ago. I'm sorry, 50 years after, Cinco Anos Depois, yes, 50 years later, and Paul and Stephen. That should get you interested. Hope so.
Yes, and the book was titled Medium of the Century.
Chico Xavier, Medium of the Century, published by Round Table, and also by the Spiritist International in Brazil. So you can get that on Amazon. It's only about £5, I think. So I hope you get after that one.
Yes. Okay. Well, thank you very much again, Guy.
Bye for now, then.
Thanks, then. Goodbye.
I hope you've now got sufficient information about Chico Xavier to realise that the study of his work has been of great importance to parapsychology. His 458 books and the 10,000 automatically written readings of the deceased must say something important about the truthfulness of mediumship. My guest has written several books about Chico. His first book, The Flying Cow, which includes information on psi research in Brazil, will soon be reissued, and his book, The Medium of the Century, is still available. Thank you, Guy, for a most interesting talk. Listen again next week to Richard Alabone on webtalkradio.net. Bye for now.